Good morning, Miracle Life, and we're so glad that you could join us this morning, wherever you are watching this live, be it in Lusaka or any other part of this nation, or maybe you're outside this nation. We're so glad that you could be with us. Well, in the last couple of weeks, we spent some time looking at the life of Jesus as we looked at the words and the works of Jesus. I hope you had a wonderful time during that series. And then also we had an opportunity to go through the Gospels in just 6 weeks, all the four Gospels. It was awesome. I believe that your lives are not the same again. Well, this morning I have the privilege of beginning a new series, and we believe that during the next few weeks we'll be able to see God in light of who He is regarding the different facets of His character. And so we'll begin a new series entitled God, Our Source. God, Our Source. And obviously you and I believe that God indeed is our source, regardless of the position where you are, or regardless whether you believe it or not, He is our source. And so I hope that in the coming weeks, as I share this morning, Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Walker, as we share, we'll be able to see how that God indeed is our source. And therefore this morning my focus regarding God being our source, I would like us to focus on Him being our source of wisdom. God being our source of wisdom. Because obviously you and I know is that as we walk through life, we desire wisdom. We desire that we know how to interpret things. We know how to make, we know how we should make decisions, or so that we can be able to pick the right choices among the things that come before us in life. And therefore, wisdom is of utmost importance in our lives. I would like to begin this series with a scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 8, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, which says, "Yet for us there is but one God. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." There is yet but one God. As children of God, we believe that there is one God, the Father, whom all things came. So all things came from Him. So, and we'll be able to see and establish where wisdom comes from and how we'll be able to attain wisdom. And then the Bible also says that we live for Him. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Because the Bible talks about it in Acts to say, it is in Him that we live, we move, and have our being. So I'd like to open up this series with a question. Why do we need wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? Well, you agree with me that humankind has been searching for wisdom since the beginning. We see that in the garden, when Eve saw that the fruit of the tree of was good for food, the Bible also says that it was also desirable for gaining wisdom. That's what she perceived. And so, says that she took some and ate it. She was pursuing wisdom. She was thinking there is some wisdom that will come when she partakes of this fruit. And so, she was deceived by the serpent. The enemy deceived her into believing that she lacked something, that the wisdom in the fruit would help her cope with, that there was something in the fruit that would cause her to be wiser than she was. She was deceived. Eve, obviously, when man sinned then, opened up a world of pain and frustration. And we see that because of that deception in desiring wisdom, the world was never the same again. The world was never the same again. And the quest for wisdom has not ended. We see and hear of people going to different extremes just in search of wisdom, so they can be wise, so that they can know a little bit more and be better than the other or the next person seated next to them. Man's quest for wisdom. Man has been desiring to be wise. It is also appropriate that we can turn and look at a man in the Bible who endured every kind of loss that is imaginable. And Obviously, to begin our search for wisdom, it would be good to see some of the things that were written about this man and what he ended up saying. And this man is named Job. Well, Job, in his quest to know more, because he could not understand what was going on in his life, he lost everything that he had. And he came to certain conclusions. And so in our quest to know God better, in our quest to know and understand God and how certain things happen in our lives, it would be good that we also examine the life of Job. We see how in chapter 28, he talks about wisdom and he discusses wisdom and its source. And so today, we examine a little bit about Job and then we'll get into other scriptures. But first, I would like to talk about two things that are important when it comes to wisdom. The first one is that there is a limit in human wisdom. Or human wisdom has a limit. There is a limit to human wisdom. Job's story is one of incredible loss and testing as a result of that loss. His children were killed, his servants slaughtered, and his livestock is stolen from him. He gets a terrible skin disease and he's almost lost everything. Such a miserable sight that even his own wife tells him to curse God and die. It seems as though he needs some wisdom to understand what is happening in my life because he does not know what is happening. But then he stubbornly hangs on to the faithfulness and goodness of God instead. Instead of following what his wife tells him to say, curse God and die, he holds on to the faithfulness and goodness of God. Obviously, the rest of the book of Job is a conversation between Job and his friends and about his life's trials. And they're trying to understand with their own human wisdom, what is God's part in this? This is an example, not only of human wisdom and its riches, but of the limits of human wisdom also. When you talk about digging, it can be mentioned or it can be seen as a metaphor of seeking. Because in Job 28, he talks about they were digging copper, they were digging minerals and other things. And in man's search for endless and desire for wisdom, we've seen the fruitlessness that it brings. Because if it begins and ends with what man knows in his own wisdom, it is limited. There is more to wisdom than the skill of the miner, than the mind of an inventor, and than the intelligence of a scientist. There is something that even human beings do not understand. For all of our own self-proclaimed wisdom, we are lost when we are faced with death or pain or the meaning of life, because it seems our wisdom is limited when it comes to that. Human wisdom is frail when a son or a daughter rebels in a home. When we experience loss or dreams crumble, human wisdom doesn't help. It is limited. So where can we find true wisdom? Because when situations turn around or situations go against what we thought would happen, it so happens that we feel and get to a place of realization that, you know what, our wisdom is but limited. Human wisdom is limited. Regardless of how wise we feel or think we are, our human wisdom is limited. My second point this morning, since I said I want to talk about two things and I'll break down these two things, is the fact that, yes, human wisdom is limited, but indeed, we ought to search for true wisdom. Search for true wisdom. Now, in our search for true wisdom, I'd like to look at Job 28 and verse 9, which says, people know how to tear apart flinty rocks and overturn the roots of mountains. They cut tunnels in the rocks and uncover precious stones. They dam up the trickling streams and bring to light the hidden treasures. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not there, it is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It is worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than the precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted on fine gold. Coral or jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It is worth more than the purest gold. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed bird in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we have heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found. God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found, for he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the winds should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws of the rain and laid out the path for lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Wow. That's so beautiful to read. That the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Humankind does not get it. And you and I will agree with me that truly, we don't get it at times when it comes to wisdom. We cannot search for true wisdom in all the usual places we go searching for wisdom. I've heard of people who go to witch doctors seeking wisdom. You won't find wisdom there. You won't. Science and technology will not one day discover the source of wisdom through experimentation or test. No. It is sometimes thought that wisdom comes with age. But I'll tell you, the older I get, I'm not so old, the more I begin to realize that I still lack wisdom and still need God for wisdom. In Job, it says, but where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? This is a man who's asking because he, in his sorrow, he looks at life and death and says, it cannot be found in the land of the living. Death says it's only a rumor of it has reached our ears. All of life and the spectre of death possess no clue to coping with life itself. But the question still exists. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom cannot be purchased either. All the precious elements that have been mentioned in verse 15 of Job 28 to verse 19 are useless for purchasing or comparing with wisdom. Oddly enough, you cannot purchase wisdom. As the writer of Proverbs says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Proverbs 4 verse 7. But since money cannot buy wisdom, why is it that in Proverbs the writer says it will cost you all you have to get wisdom? It's a mystery. And many of the times, humankind doesn't get it. And I hope today we can be able to understand how we can get the wisdom that we're talking about. Wisdom is withheld from unbelievers. In fact, Paul says, the wisdom of God is not of this age. So that the smartest men and women of this age do not get it. It is not in the same sphere. It is not in their league, for lack of a better word. It is out of their realm of thinking. It is not logical to them. Wisdom, you can't buy or you can't receive it from another person. You can't get it if you don't believe in Christ at all. You can't get this wisdom. Only God knows where wisdom comes from. Where do we find understanding and the ability to cope with life's ups and downs? Only God knows and is able to help us understand. Because when we reach our ends with and we get to the point where we don't understand what's going on in our lives and we seek wisdom, we seek to understand what is the solution to the challenges that I'm facing. Remember, God is our source and we need to understand He's our source of wisdom. In verse 28 of Job 28, and He said to man, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Although man acquires great material possessions and lives a luxurious life, he cannot be considered to be wise. He cannot be considered wise because of the wealth that one has. These are the things that cannot stay with him permanently. He must leave them behind once he dies. Even when alive, these things or riches cannot stay with a person sometimes permanently. Job stands himself as an example. He had great riches. He was the greatest man in the East, if you read Job chapter 1 and verse 3. But in one stroke, he lost everything. He even lost his health. Now he questions his wisdom and his understanding. Job realized that true wisdom is not in acquiring material wealth. Because all this material wealth that we may have will be left behind once we die. True wisdom lies in obtaining what is of value even after our body dies. True wisdom lies in obtaining what is of value even after our body dies. Winning our souls for eternity, therein lies wisdom. And we can replicate this when we hear the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 when he says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Job says in verse 12, "But where can wisdom be found?" And I keep repeating this because it's a question that we ought to ask ourselves. Because we are faced with challenges and we're faced with places when we need wisdom to decide. We need wisdom to interpret information that we have. We need wisdom to live wise. But many of the times, sometimes as believers, we find ourselves living like unwise people. Living like the heathen. But where can wisdom be found? Sometimes man, as we are, we don't value or we do not know the value of wisdom. No matter how we try to be wise with our own knowledge, we get all the degrees that we need. They are good and very well. But there is a certain true wisdom that we need that does not fade away. Gold, the wealth and everything may fade. In fact, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." If the Bible talks about wisdom to be even greater than wealth, why don't we pursue wisdom? Why don't we seek after wisdom? Why don't we seek after knowledge and understanding, as the Bible says? Where can wisdom be found? It is hidden in the eyes of men. It is hidden in the eyes of very many people. But the verse that we read earlier in Job explains the utter futility of man's effort to seek wisdom. Human philosophy and reasoning have tried their best to explain wisdom. But the end of everything is destruction and death. Failure is sin. And when we fail in certain areas of our lives, we begin to question our decisions, which we once thought were wise. Today we make decisions and we think this is the best decision. I am a wise man. And when it goes south and it doesn't go our way, we begin to question our wisdom. We may begin to search for a more precise understanding of wisdom. Maybe Job was in a similar position then. When he sat with his friends and they began to question and understand where all this is coming from. And his friends would blame him, blame God. His wife even tells him, just curse God and die. Because it seems as though you do not know this also, or the reason why you're going through what you're going through. Some of us have reached the end. Today we are blaming God. We are hating God. It's even a miracle that we are listening to this sermon. Because we are angry with God simply because we feel He has let us down. We are looking for wisdom. We are looking for understanding. Because the question still remains, where is the way to wisdom? Where does wisdom come from? But the scripture we read gives us an understanding, because God understands its way according to Job 28 verse 23. And He knows its place. For He looks at the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish the weight of the wind, the Bible says, and to apportion the waters by measure. When He made a law for the rain and a path for lightning, God knows wisdom. In fact, in the poetic sense, you probably say it, He knows where it exists. He knows the way to true wisdom. It is because God alone is all-knowing. He's the only one who can see all things. He sees the end from the beginning. And that is why, regardless of your situation, if we can trust in Him, who is all-knowing, who has all wisdom, He can guide us. He can help you. In fact, He can help you and He will lead you so that you do not fall in those pitfalls. He is on your side. Nothing can escape his knowledge. In the words of Job, God sees the ends of the earth and everything under the heavens. It is God who, through wisdom, who laid out the laws governing everything created by Him. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, and also verse 22, he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. In verse 22, he says, the Lord possessed me. This is wisdom speaking. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. The Lord has wisdom. In short, God possesses wisdom as part of His very being. He possesses wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, in Christ are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, the first part says, but by His doing you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. Christ is wisdom from God. And so if you are in Christ, you're seeing where I'm leading to here, you will have this wisdom that we're talking about. What does God has to say about the man? What does God has to say to mankind regarding wisdom? And to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Other scriptures that actually confirm what was written in the book of Job is Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. So all these three scriptures we've read talking about wisdom explain and define wisdom as the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? Or what is involved in the fear of the Lord? Two things I'd like to submit to you and I'll be done. Two things that the fear of the Lord involves. Number one, the fear of the Lord involves loving, honoring, respecting, and worshiping the Lord. Loving, honoring, respecting, and worshiping the Lord. Recognizing His Lordship. That is what it involves in the fear of the Lord. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're not just talking about running away from the Lord, maybe because you've done wrong. No. The fear of the Lord involves loving, honoring, respecting, and worshiping the Lord. Recognizing His Lordship. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Is that what you're doing today, child of God? Do you fear the Lord? Do you walk in all His ways? Do you love Him? Do you serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? That is what God is calling on us. Psalm 33 and verse 8 talks about how that let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That is the fear of the Lord. Worshipping Him and standing in awe of Him. Fearing the Lord does involve a deep sense of respect to God and His presence. How often are you in the presence of the Lord? You want to get wisdom, fear the Lord. What does that involve? Love the Lord. Worship Him. Be in His presence. You will have wisdom. You will have wisdom. Fearing the Lord is about worshiping God. And not just on a Sunday morning when you hear Morpheus say, "Welcome to church and let's worship the Lord, stand up and let's worship God." No, but your life should be a life of worship. You were created to worship God. And as you worship God, His presence is there. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will speak to you. God wants to talk to you. And you know what will happen? He will give you instructions about what you would do. And as you follow His commandments, you'll be walking in wisdom. Because fearing the Lord is wisdom. In fact, Job 42, verse 5, Job says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job realized something. He had an attitude of fearing the Lord and His ways, which in turn led to repentance. And this is what the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom. When we can get to a place where we humble ourselves and repent from our ways, because as we get closer to God, He'll be able to highlight in our lives the things that we need to work on and be drawn and walk in His will. That is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord, to walk in His statutes, to walk in what He says about us. God is our source of wisdom. The second thing that the fear of the Lord involves is that it involves a good understanding to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord involves a good understanding to depart from evil. Psalm 34 verse 11 talks about, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Fearing the Lord cannot be disconnected from departing from evil. You cannot cling to sin and claim to fear the Lord. That is not the wisdom of God. That is being wise in your own eyes. In the words of King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7, he says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find King Solomon's attempt to understand wisdom and the meaning and the purpose of life. In his attempt, Solomon searched out all things under the sun. You can see in the life of Solomon that he experimented to the fullest. Married so many women. He had so much wealth. He did everything that could be done. But then he finally found out that human wisdom does not answer to life's questions and problems. Rather, it simply brings grief and sorrow. He concludes the book with an important statement that he had found out in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, which says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including everything secret, whether good or evil." In conclusion, if you want true wisdom, or if you want to truly be wise, you need to look at Jesus, the source of all wisdom. We must fear him and depart from all sin. And he will be able to take away all our sins and set us free, and we shall be wise. But then how is that possible that he can do that? Because it's not possible in our own ways to set ourselves free or to make ourselves wise. Romans 7 verse 9 says this: "For the good that I want to do," this is what Paul said, "I do not do. But the evil I do not want to do, I end up doing." How is that possible? That we can be set free even when we want to do good, we end up finding ourselves doing wrong. It is only possible when we look to the cross. Pastor Benjamin talked about the power of the cross last week. If we look to the cross, wisdom is ultimately manifested in the cross of Christ. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Obviously, we know that the Greeks were known for their wisdom. The insights of Greek philosophers like Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, many others, sometimes still seem fresh today and relevant today. However, Paul makes an interesting statement that the crucifixion of Christ for salvation of humanity was foolishness to the wisest Greeks. However, that was the way that God in his wisdom chose to reach out to humanity. That is the only way for us to heaven. We can be victorious over sin, child of God, and evil only through Christ, because Christ is the source of our wisdom. James 1 says what? "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him." Let him ask. If Christ is the wisdom of God, James here is saying, ask for Christ, and you'll be given liberally by the Father. He will be given by the Father. The true search for wisdom can only find an end in Christ Jesus, because God is the source of wisdom. God is the source of all wisdom. As we come to an end, ask yourself this question. Am I depending on Christ if I'm a Christian for wisdom in every decision that I'm making? If you're not a Christian, ask yourself, if I don't have Christ, then I don't have wisdom. Today is a better day to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Bow your heads with me this morning as we pray. Thank you, Father, that Christ is the wisdom of God. And therefore today we know that God is our source of wisdom. God is our source. Even for those challenging situations where we're looking for answers, instead of trying to go our own ways to try and to find solutions, we will turn to you. We will turn to you for wisdom. Peradventure you're listening to me this morning. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to give you an opportunity to accept Him today. Because He alone is all-knowing. And He will help you. He will set you free. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior today. Or maybe you're a Christian. But yes, you've not been living in the fear of the Lord. You have been living in sin. You've been holding on to sin. We've said wisdom of God is the fear of the Lord and keeping away from evil. Come back to the Lord today. Come back to the Lord today and you will have wisdom. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Come to Jesus. He will help you. If you're such a one, I would like you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come to you. I surrender my life to you as I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead. Today, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins as I make Jesus my Lord and Savior, Lord of my life. I give you my life, Jesus. Thank you for your love. I submit to you today. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, child of God, the Bible says there's celebration in heaven. You made the right decision. In fact, from what we've learned, that is the beginning of wisdom. Because you choose to begin to live for God. We would like to know that you prayed that prayer. If you're on Facebook, please write in the comment section that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And somebody from our team will reach out to you. And we would like to give you a book and just pray with you and help you in the decision that you've made. If you're on YouTube, we'd like you to please text the number that's on the screen right now. Please, as you text, indicate your name and that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we will call you, we will reach out to you, and somebody will be reaching out to you and giving you a book and just information about the decision that you have made. We're so glad that you made that decision. Amen. Well, at this point in time, we'd like to give you an opportunity to give. And there are various platforms that you can use to give that are showing on the screen. You can give via mobile money platforms, or you can do a bank transfer, or you can just come and give physically here. There's a self-deposit box that you can drop your offering and your tithes, as well as continue giving towards the building campaign. Let's keep supporting God's work. We believe that, yes, God has called us to a great work in these end times. And as we give, we make the preaching of the gospel possible to the ends of the earth. Let's keep giving and being a blessing to many, many lives. Praise the Lord. Well, as you come to the end of the service, if you have a need in your life and you need some prayer, please make use of the numbers that are on the screen. If you need counseling, please do not wait until things are now dead and that's when you reach out. Reach out. We have wonderful counselors. We have a wonderful team of people that want to help you. In case you need just prayer, please call the prayer lines. There's somebody out there just wants to pray with you, just waiting for you to call. Call, make that call, or text, just call. And somebody wants to pray with you regardless of the situation. You don't have to go through that alone. We'd also want to encourage you, in case you're not feeling well, or maybe you have COVID or something, please reach out. Let us know. We want to know. We want to be there for you. Please reach out to us. In case you have an illness, or you're sick, or you're in hospital, reach out to us. There's a healing team that would like to reach out to you, pray with you, stand with you in prayer as we believe God for your complete healing. Shall we pray as we close this morning? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. As we go with the rest of our lives and doing that which you've assigned us to do, we pray that you go before us. Help this word sink in our hearts and lives as we understand that you are Christ, Lord, the wisdom of God, that we shall follow and pursue you, and indeed walk in wisdom as we fear the Lord and keep away from evil. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.